Woodbury Reports with your host, Lon Woodbury, talking with leading professionals about how parents and others can help their struggling teens, preteens, and young adults. Now here's your host, Lon Woodbury.
Welcome to the Woodbury Report. This is Lon Woodbury, and today is July 21st, 2017, and we have Betsy Hill on the line. Well, good morning, Betsy. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much, Lon. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, Betsy is the president of Brainware Learning Company. She's a longtime educator and has had an interest in how the brain works that is important information for her job. And so the title of what we're going to talk about is, Are Male and Female Brains All That Different? Now, the reason I was interested in that question is most of the literature has from brain research has shown that there is a statistical difference between male and female brains in a number of different areas. And a lot is being made about that. And Betsy has a little bit different take on that. So are male and female brains all that different? I presume your answer is not really. Go ahead.
In many respects, it's not really. And in some of the most important aspects, the answer is really not really. Because when we think about how our brains learn, how we develop, how we grow, our brains work very, very similarly. We have the same structures in our brains. We have the same, the term is neuroplasticity, which means that our brains change. And so in lots of the most important ways that are most significant for how we get along in life and how we are able to do in school or how we're able to perform in the workplace, our brains are not different enough to make any difference.
So in the feminist perspective, is they're saying that really the differences between the sexes is more cultural or environmental than it is basic structure. Would you tend to agree with that statement?
I definitely would agree with that statement. So, you know, there's a lot of work that's being done to look at physical differences in the brain. And there are some areas where they're showing, in fact, that there is no difference. So, for example, in a couple of key areas, one is the brain structure that's called the amygdala, which is involved in emotion. And I'm sure that, the stereotype is that women are in general more emotional than men. And so you'd say, well, maybe their amygdala is bigger. But in fact, the amygdala is the same size in men and in women. In another structure in the brain, the hippocampus is involved in forming new memories. Very important, of course, in learning. If you didn't have one, you couldn't learn new things. And though there again, they're very much the same. Now, there's a lot of ways in which our environment does it. In fact, our brains develop in interaction with the environment. There's just, there's a developmental pathway, and there are windows of sensitivity where we're more likely to develop certain skills. But what we know is that our brains develop in interaction with our environment. So culture and environment can have a big impact. Here's one really simple example, which is that people have long believed that men are better in math than women. And they can even show on lots of tests where men do better, in fact, than women on math tests or visual spatial tasks and things like that. But if you give a math test to a group of men and a group of women, say they're college level, so they're all, doing college level work, and you ask them to check a box, whether they're male or female, at the top of the test before they take it. In that case, women will generally do worse on average than the men on that test. If you didn't ask them to check that box, they would do the same.
So it's sort of like they're living up to expectations.
Right, but not consciously. No one's saying to themselves, I'm a woman, so therefore, but it's at that very, deep subconscious level. So we have to be really careful when we read the research or read about those differences to explore whether some of those effects and some of those factors may be coming into play.
Okay, what about, would this be part of the environment, perhaps the there's hormonal differences between males and females, the, you know, the possibility of getting pregnant, the monthly cycle, and things like that. Would that be, have an impact, but it would be more sort of environmental on the brain rather than the different structure in the brain itself?
Right. I mean, certainly the hormones between men and women are very different. And of course, it results in a lot of differences physically in our bodies. And in fact, this is an area where the differences may be more important than in some of the other things that we've been talking about, Lon, because I've heard of research that shows the impact and the sensitivity to medications that may be very different in men and women. And as you know, in many clinical trials of different drugs, before they're approved, a lot of times they will exclude women, or they will exclude certainly pregnant women from most of those tests. And those are situations where they're now finding that things like dosage or different kinds of treatments may be very different actually for women, and maybe different actually for women at different points in the menstrual cycle. So that's an area in terms of medicine and those kinds of and hormonal effects where I think that's an underappreciated, and I think we're going to be learning a lot more about that in the years to come.
So that sounds like what you're saying is the differences, you know, there's seems to be obvious differences between male and female, but some of those might be, it's not the structure of the brain or capabilities of the brain, it's the hormonal environment that the brain lives in that has that kind of influence that we've generally attributed to being differences in the brain. Am I with you?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair way of saying it. And I think that there are some other areas where there have been shown to be some differences in structure, but we don't really know what that means. So, for example, the part of the brain that connects our two hemispheres, you know, the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere. And by the way, there is no such thing as being a right-brained or a left-brained person. We use both half of our brains, and to not do so would be pretty lame-brained. So, but the part of
with one hand tied behind your back, trying to focus that way. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So they do specialize to some degree. They function a little bit differently, but they have to work together all the time. And the part that connects them is a thick set of fibers called the corpus callosum. And the corpus callosum in women is on average a little bit thicker than the one in men. And so you could speculate that maybe women have this ability to combine information from the two hemispheres. And in fact, there's some more recent research that suggests that there is more inter-hemisphere connectivity and activity when they do MRIs, functional magnetic resonance imaging or something like that, in women compared to men that tend to have more intra, so within the hemisphere activity. But, you know, it's so new, and as again we talked about before, there's so much overlap. It's not like men are on one end and women are on another end. There may be some differences, but whether they're meaningful and then whether they really result in different abilities to deal with different kinds of situations or learning situations or whatever. I just don't think we know that yet.
You know, that's intriguing. A thought that I had while you were talking about that is that reports from meditators and various meditation systems, some of them would claim that it increases the inter-hemispherial interaction through that. Almost like says, like they're almost claiming like it would tend to make a male brain more like the female because it would tend to enhance that connection that goes through the center part of the brain.
Right. And the other thing we know is that we can develop a variety of different cognitive skills by practice and the right kind of training. So whether it's our attention, our focus, our ability to integrate different information, which could include across different parts of the brain, we can actually develop those skills. So a lot of it, as you pointed out before, may be cultural, may have a lot to do with the kinds of situations that we put girls and boys into, or that, or as men and women, we tend to navigate in to areas and kinds of tasks and skills that are the easiest for us. But it doesn't mean that that's fate. We can always, really throughout our lives, develop in many of these areas.
Okay. Well, would you like to summarize up in a few words sort of what the conclusion is, that male and female brains are not all that different?
Well, what I would say is that for most of what matters in the ways that we interact with each other, the thing that is the most like a female human brain is a male human brain, and vice versa. And so I think we should worry less about what makes us different and more about what makes us, what we share in common.
Well, that's very good. Now, give you a minute to talk about your Brainware Learning Company. You're the president of that. And this gets involved, and that's probably one of the reasons why you've been so interested in learning about how the brain works and the research. But tell us about Brainware Learning Company. What do you do? What do you offer?
Well, we are a company that is all about the practical application of neuroscience. And so we're learning all these fascinating things about the brain, but as I said, we don't always know what they mean. But what we do is we take what is really competent and neuroscience-based in the research, and then translate it to the home, to the school, to the workplace. So we offer a cognitive skills training program called Brainware Safari. We have a cognitive assessment called MindPrint that allows you to get a really deep look at your learning strengths and weaknesses and develop strategies based on that. We have a cognitively based reading program that really focuses on comprehension, not just on decoding words and building fluency. And then finally, we do a lot of training of teachers in schools and things like that on how the brain learns. And we call that our Brains On Professional Development.
All right. So if somebody wants to talk more about that or learn more about the Brainware Learning Company, or how they might make use of the services, how would somebody get a hold of you? You know, website, email, phone?
Yes. Well, we have an absolutely fabulous new website, and I hope everybody will go and see it. It's still at the same address we were before, www.mybrainware.com. And you can also call us toll-free at 877-BRAIN-10, 877-272-4610. Anybody who wants to email me is welcome to do that as well. I'm bhill@mybrainware.com.
Thank you very much. Well, this is Lon Woodbury with the Woodbury Report. We've been talking with Betsy Hill on Are Male and Female Brains All That Different? Thank you very much, Betsy. Very enlightening.
Thank you, Lon. I appreciated it.